Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, May the 19th, 2015. I currently have 6:03 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. On the agenda tonight, we have some lovely young ladies from City of Pleasant Grove and the Strawberry Days Royalty, and would like to have each of you ladies come up, if you would, state your name, and maybe a little about yourself, and then tell us about the upcoming Strawberry Days. If you would,
like to,
we'd always like to hear about that.
So. Thank you. Hi, my name is Jessica. I am a student at BYU. I'm studying biology. I also play rugby for BYU, so that's a little bit about me. And my first attendant here, I'm Sarah McCurdy. I'm also a student at BYU, and I am currently on the BYU dance team back and forth. Hi, I'm Brittany Feebly, and I'm a cosmetologist.
I'm Jessica Matheson, I'm also currently at BYU.
I'm Eliza Shumway, and I'm working full-time at home when you need a good help.
So, we are, like you said, the Pleasant Grove Royalty. We'd like to invite you to our Strawberry Days, which is June 15th and 20th. We're really excited, and we want to tell you a little bit about our festivities that will be happening. So we have Pumpkin Days, which is a
run, and the famous Strawberry Days Parade.
We also have a rodeo that happens throughout the week, and we'll have a rodeo that happens throughout the
week. Hi, my name is Victoria Hall. I'm first attendant for this year's Strawberry Days Rodeo. Our Queen Bailey Noble couldn't be here with us today. This is my second attendant.
Hi, I'm Michelle Wall. A little bit about myself. I go to UVU studying communications, and I'm an ambassador there, and I love it.
I just returned home from an LDS mission in El Salvador, and just excited to be a part of this year's Strawberry Days. So we'd like to invite you out to our rodeo, which is June 17th through the 20th. Mutton Bustin' starts at 7 o'clock.
The rest of the showing will start at 8 o'clock. We have Tough Enough to Wear Pink Night on Wednesday, and we would just like to invite you to come out to our rodeo. There'll be lots of booths, lots of games, lots of things happening, so please come and celebrate with us.
Thank you. We enjoy being here, so thank you for letting us come. We also brought you a cheesecake to enjoy this evening.
Thank you so much, ladies. I know that I love to go to the rodeo, so you will see me over there. And we love that you guys come over and visit us every year and tell us about Strawberry Days that's upcoming. So thank you very much. Council, is there anything anyone would like to add to that?
I would just echo what he said. Thank you for being here. And as always, thank you for the cheesecake. And we look forward to participating with Strawberry Days.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Go BYU.
Thank you.
I personally like the fact that you're all wearing red since I am a Ute.
She loves red.
And I will add that me and my family go every year too, all seven of us. So
we'll see you then.
Thank you. Okay. All right, let's move into noticed items that we're going to have a little bit of a discussion on. So I asked Charlotte to give us a very brief discussion on the transfers that will take place between the water and sewer funds. He tells me it will be very brief, which is fine. And we'll go from there. Cheryl.
So last year in May, the state auditor released a notice that I included in your packet about enterprise fund transfers, reimbursements, loans, and services. And our city, which was common practice among most municipalities, had water charges and sewer charges that are governmental funds. were not being charged for. And so we were asked to come up with the estimate, since we don't have meters on every open space in every park. So the numbers that we came up with was $8,500 for the general fund for its open space and parks, and $31,000 for the golf course based on its acreage and what we were charging American Fork and Lone Peak High School. So the net impact to the funds is zero with the transfers that we're doing. We're charging the funds now, but then we're transferring in an offset from the water and sewer fund, so that the fiscal impact is zero. Are there any questions on this?
I get the impression from reading the alert that this is it's just making a change to comply with law. So
yeah,
it's pretty cut and dry.
Okay. Yes. Daniel, are you wanting to ask something?
Yes, because I guess I'm slow today.
Okay.
So I'm hearing that it's a wash in terms of the general fund, but I'm still not understanding exactly why.
Okay.
Because I mean, if previously we weren't charging.
Previously, we weren't charging our city itself for what it used.
Right.
And so now we're charging them, but we're reimbursing them from the enterprise fund. So the enterprise fund also recognizes revenues in its fund for what they're charging to the general fund and the golf fund. And then they have a transfer that's going out that offsets that charge for the same amount.
I'm still confused, sorry. Maybe I'll sit down with you sometime and you can show me.
Okay. So I can give you actually the accounts. So in park expenditures, there's an account called 1064-250. And we're for this next year's upcoming budget, it's $12,500. $8,500 of that relates to the water and sewer charges. We used to have the utilities included as part of parks, supplies, and maintenance, but I broke it out this year just to make it more transparent. So, and then on account 1036902, there's a transfer in from water and sewer fund for $8,500 in the general fund. And then,
so can you give me those numbers again? I pulled this up now.
1036902 is the transfer in.
Okay.
And then
from which fund?
From water and sewer.
From water and sewer, okay.
And then the utility account under parks, 1064-250, is the other account on the expenditure side for the general fund.
Okay. And so does that mean that on the when we're transferring in from water and sewer, so water and sewer is now $8,500 less than it was before?
No, because they're also, so if you go to the water and sewer fund, go to account 5137116, water fees from city departments, is a new account. They're showing $37,750, which is coming from the general fund and the golf fund.
I see. And so the city is essentially paying the water and sewer fund for the water and sewer that it's using.
Yeah.
So why is the water and sewer fund reimbursing that back?
So the budget impact was zero. That was the reason. If you don't do that, then the general fund would have to eat $37,000.
Right. But I thought the purpose of the memo was we should be paying for the water and sewer into the water and sewer.
The purpose of the memo is so that residents know that you're paying, that either you're, one is that it's being charged, and then the other purpose is that if there is a transfer, that you have a public notice for it.
Gotcha. So we want the public to know, hey, normally this would be $8,500 deficit out of the general fund, but we're going to cover it from the water and sewer fund. That's how we've chosen to pay for the city's water and sewer that it uses. Now I understand.
And can you repeat those figures again that you had given earlier for the golf course and the other open spaces?
So $8,500 for the general fund and $31,000 for the golf fund. Now, Rob's also mentioned in the past that there's a variable cost that also the golf fund gets for pumping charges that's on top of this.
I think it might be double dipping, double charging for the same thing to the golf course. So.
Yeah, it's hard to.
So I missed that point.
So in on your golf budget, if you go to line item 2060300, we budget approximately $17,000 next year for water pumping costs. That's the electricity used to pump water around the golf course. That's a variable cost that's being covered. If part of this problem is with this.
Are you saying that's being covered by the water and sewer fund?
That's being covered by golf.
It's actually being covered by golf in that case.
The problem is you have to have something that you're charging someone else as for water and sewer. When your city's different funds are using the water. So we had to use what we were charging American Fork and Lone Peak because that was something that we were charging somewhere else in our city. If we made just the water and pumping cost the only cost for the golf fund, then we don't really have anything comparable to it on our for our fee schedule. So,
according to the state law, we were required to figure out what was fair and equitable, and we have a wholesale cost that we charge American Fork for the water that we deliver to Lone Peak High School, and so that was the cost basis for that wholesale charge. So then we could go back and figure out what we would deliver to the golf course and deliver to our own facilities and charge accordingly. So that's the cost basis for that.
And I'm assuming that that cost includes pumping charges and electricity.
So for the golf course, they have an additional pumping level. So for the city, when we deliver the water to our ponds, from there they get pressurized.
Yeah.
For the golf course, it goes to another pond, Pond 18 right behind us, and we have another pumping station here. So we have additional pumping charges assessed to the golf course because they boost their water one more time.
So it may not be double counting. It might just be the normal cost of pumping is in the
cost of water and the additional cost is like water where we need it. Okay. That makes sense.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Thank you, Charles.
I knew that I could take what you thought was a 10-second discussion.
I knew it wasn't going to be 10 seconds, so thank you for participating. Okay. One of the next items I'd like to go over, and Mr. Bunker, you're probably going to
this, is agreement on 4,000 North.
Failing the drain fields are not working, and they got a lot of sewage back in, into their basement. And this has happened, she said, a couple of times. And so Cedar Hills has a sewer main right in front of her house. And this residence would like to consider hooking on to Cedar Hills line in order to get service, sanitary sewer service. So this resident is a resident of Pleasant Grove, her lot. We met with her and the mayor discussed kind of the issues surrounding providing service to.
She had
received some erroneous information and wanted to go through that with us. And so as we sat down and talked to her, I think a lot of her concerns were resolved. And so we told her we
asked them
if we could hook her up to the Cedar Hill sewer line. But we would make an agreement that they would connect onto our sewer line and then apply for boundary adjustment to Cedar Hills. Now, that resident is not the only one. That home is not the only one. There's probably three in a row right there that are Pleasantville residents, and right in front of their house is Cedar Hills sewer. And so,
what address is this?
This is 4000 West, and let me see. Just south of Cedar Hills Drive,
okay.
On 4000 West.
So on the
west side of the road, maybe three houses down. So these other residents are in the same boat. They have septic tanks, and over time these septic tanks will fail. Her question was, what is the city of Cedar Hills willing to do to help these people hook on to sewer? And so staff's proposal to the council is, let's have them sign this agreement that they will boundary adjust into Cedar Hills. Let them hook onto our sewer feed. In fact, staff's suggestion would be, let's provide the lateral to the property line. And then they would be required to go from their home, redo whatever it takes to take their septic system offline and get to that lateral. So they would have sewer service directly into the Cedar Hills. What you have in front of you right here is a non-resident sewer service agreement. And in that it says that the applicant will apply for annexation of this parcel, and that with that you would hook onto the sewer line. The Timpanogos Special Service District Assessment, that is a fee that's passed through. We don't set that rate. TSSD does, and right now that's around $24.50, I believe. The sewer impact fee is the Cedar Hills sewer impact fee, which they would also need to pay that as well. The non-participating subdivision fee, that can be negotiated. That's not a fee that we have to charge necessarily. The utility deposit and setup fee, that would be just to get the utility account with our city, which is what every other resident has to do. And then if there's any inspection fees to look at the sewer lateral, then those would also be assessed. But those are very small, talking $35. So those would be the sample fees that a non-resident would have to pay to hook onto our sewer line with the agreement that they would have to use.
So is there, I haven't seen this yet, so I haven't been able to read through it, but is there a period of time that they have to start that boundary adjustment process?
Yes, 6 months.
So they have to submit a request to PG within a six-month period of time?
And it goes to both cities. So it would be a request to the city of Cedar Hills to boundary adjust into our city, plus a de-annexation disconnect agreement submission to Pleasant Grove.
And then what happens if Pleasant Grove says no?
That is a good question. We should maybe help us with that one.
And if Pleasant Grove says no, then there would be the and safety. And so, you know, that's probably a question I would ask, what is the consequence of that?
Because
I'm
saying no to people requesting a battery adjustment, so it's not out of the ordinary for some of the life.
So, yeah, it takes both cities to agree. There is a legal means, I'm sure. If services can't be provided by Pleasant Grove and they're unwilling to provide those services, then I think there could be an argument by the residents saying, hey, I need sewer service, I need the service. So there could be that happening as well.
So there hasn't been any further discussion between staff and this lady since we talked.
She sent me an email to clarify what our discussions surrounded. So I responded to her and said, yeah, we're prepared to go to city council and ask the city council if they would agree to letting them hook on. Right now, they're not in their home because they have no sewer. And so they would like to immediately hook on so that they can be back in their house.
Tell me again, please, why they don't have sewer service right now.
So they had their own private septic tank and drain field. And the drain field failed. So the way a septic system works is all the flow goes into a concrete tank and then it seeps through the drain field. Well, that drain field can get clogged. So it no longer leaches into the ground. And once that gets clogged, then once the concrete vault, the septic tank is filled, then there is no more capacity and the sewer just comes right out of the basin. So,
and how do you normally fix that if you want to keep yourself?
They could reconstruct potentially the drain field if the soils are amenable to that. That can be difficult with clayey soils that they could have on their lot. So to reconstruct the septic tank might be difficult. They flushed their system, she said, a number of times.
So basically, is it the case that there's only so much waste that the surrounding land can take and seep it in, and then starts to fail?
Yeah. So in really gravelly type soils, drain fields can last a long time because that water can just percolate and dissipate through the ground.
Is it treated?
No. They put a chemical in the septic tank itself, but once it leaves that septic tank, it goes into the.
So why is that legal? Normally we wouldn't allow anyone to dump waste.
We do not allow any septic tanks to be constructed now. The health department won't allow it either. But this is a home that was constructed, I would say, probably in the 60s or 70s.
So I think what you're talking about, Dan, is a system that existed prior to sewer.
And it was grandfathered in, they weren't going to outlaw whether they would. But I'd like to say the next 20 years you've got sewer.
A lot of septics work just fine, but eventually a lot of them will fail over a kind of period of time. So she is the first one, but the other residents on her street that are on septic, it's just a matter of time.
So one of the things we discussed with her, the mayor and I, when we were in that meeting, Chandler was in there as well, was she asked what we would do for our neighbors, because some of them have some feelings about staying in Pleasant Grove. And our council in the past has had the opinion, hey, if you want to go ahead and hook up to the city's utilities and sign an agreement, but once your home changes title, once that parcel changes out of your hands, whether you move or someone passes away or the emotional part of it is divested, then it would come into Cedar Hills. And our city's had that on the table for quite some time. As we try to work through these issues with Pleasant Grove City, I think we were really close, maybe 8 years ago, to an agreement like that. We kind of unraveled, but that's kind of where we are. Go ahead.
The annexation agreement in this agreement is not clarified in 6 months. That was a different annexation agreement, a different sewer agreement that I believe was made with various residents, non-residents, people like that, and second things. That is a standard annexation period that the city has. It's just not outlined in this agreement. So I'm just gonna make that correction.
She did seem very amenable to annexing, and so we should probably circle back to the table to find out where she is. I know that she did meet with the Pleasant Grove City Council the night after.
I believe she's going to be
good.
So who all has reviewed this?
So Chandler drafted it. We ran it past David Shaw real quickly. It's not the format that he prefers, but it has the components in it that we need.
So I guess one of my biggest concerns, well, what I call people says no. Secondly, in the past, when we've had some residents on our sewer line, but they're on their water and they don't pay their sewer bill, we really have no recourse. We can't have the water or anything like that, so we have no recourse to collect. And then lastly, I know this is a review action item tonight, but we're just getting this now, and I personally would like time to be able to read through it and understand it before we take action.
Let me have a question for Mr. Shaw. Do you have some changes that you'd like to make with this draft?
Ideally, yes. Again, as responder stated, I reviewed it, but it was very quick review on anything relative to the applications and some of the resources, and there are
so if you guys decide to table the motion, that's fine. But if you decide to act on it tonight, maybe consider making a motion that is subject to Mr. Shaw making changes that he would like to make. Did I get you off, Mrs. Reese? Did you have any more questions?
No.
Okay.
The hurry on it clearly is the fact that this resident has no sewer and is not living in her home. And so would really like to have some options and like to know where kind of where she's headed, because it takes some time to get contractors lined up in order to put this lateral in and things like that. So we don't meet until June 19th is our next meeting, and that's quite some time for her to be out of her house.
And we've talked quite a bit about this condition if the residents will be annexed. That's the only detail. Legend in my main concern is what happens if this resident is not. But if this resident is serious about doing that position, we're willing to at least let this one chance try and see how it works. It's not 10 or 20 residents as well.
Well, I know one of the concerns that David brought up in the past is we set precedent and we do things, right? So that was a big concern with the 4000 North line, is that if we do it, it sets precedent. So if we do it for this resident, and then PG says no, we can't disconnect her at that point, and we can't even make her pay at that point, and there's no then motivation for her to sue PG, when she's getting sewer services from us, and that is set to have her precedent for everybody else.
I think David's not saying we could disconnect her, is that right?
Yes, whenever you're providing extraterritorial services, those are bound by the capacity of the services. It's also a bit bound, and these are some of the things that I would preferably like to have, is some definition that says she has to pay the bill, and if she doesn't, that has ramifications. These are very simple things that we have in that extraterritorial case. So, there are just a few protections. I don't think it would take much time to Mr. Bunker's point. And so if the council were in compliance with this tonight, maybe to do so subject to
So I think those are all really good questions that you may want to ask if she's here tonight. I will say that the meeting that we had with her, I consider quite productive. And so at the end of the meeting, she actually said, so I need to tell my husband that we're moving into Cedar Hills, annexing into Cedar Hills. So my interpretation of her demeanor is that she is willing to move to Cedar Hills, and she just wants the agreement to make sense. So it would make it's probably time well spent to have Mr. Shaw make the changes he wants to make, and make sure that we get this right.
Okay, I don't think there are questions I can necessarily ask her, because she has no control over whether PG says yes or
no. But what you can do is her state concerns that you have to her, so that she knows that that there are, it's not as easy as just saying, come on in, the water is warm. And, you know, that explaining that we do have a policy and that we would love to have her in Cedar Hills. But we would expect her to annex in, because that's exactly what I told her. So, Mr. Crowley, you want to ask a question?
Why do cities like Pleasant Grove try to hang on to residents that want to annex somewhere else? And why does it matter to us if someone's paying their bill whether they annex or not into Cedar Hills? And, you know, we can shut them off if they don't pay their bill. So, and why is that important to us?
I think the reason is that the residents who live here will have to pay for that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And her taxes will not be able to pay for the infrastructure.
So the first part of your question is that sometimes cities are very territorial. Right. And so we talked with Highland recently about some land where our construction ship is, our golf ship. And they dismissed it out of hand. They're like, no thanks. Thanks for coming, but no thanks. And so I think we've tried to work with our neighboring cities. But maybe each situation is differently, and that's the best way to go. Any other questions on this?
I think I would just reiterate, it seems to have happened a lot lately. If there's a contract that's coming to us that we are going to approve, I personally don't see it before council meeting.
Yes.
Can we charge more to non-resident users of utilities?
We have charged more in the past, yes.
Okay. It just seems like there's all this price that should make it worthwhile for us, whether they annex or not, just to accommodate and make it work. Anyway, that's not us.
That's probably this non-participating subdivision fee you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's my final question is, should we be charging that fee if
they're not paying taxes, go towards the utility?
Can you speak up a little bit?
If the issue is that they're not paying taxes, then there should be an additional fee. If they're not paying taxes, they're going towards the infrastructure.
We've been down this road before. We have charged residents who was hooked up to our sewer a certain percentage, and then that got a little more, and it got a little bit more. And it became almost an egregious amount that would be very difficult to defend.
And then kept getting forgotten involved.
And so the recommendation was it's got to be, that extra amount has to be reasonable.
Well, because the assumption is that our fee that we're charging to our residents even is including a accruing for future maintenance and repairs and replacement.
And so in the new regulations, they put up a impact. Yeah, and that's the impact.
Yeah, there's the city one and the TSC.
So I don't see a reason to charge another non-participating subdivision. Right now, according to the code, we can allow them to hook on a sewer, pay non-resident fee, and they double the average bill of a Cedar Hills resident. Now, let me explain why we would probably do something like that. We don't get the water bill. Let's say that they stay in Pleasant Grove, they're on PG water. We don't get their water meter reading every month. So we don't even know how much really to charge them, because your sewer bill is based on your indoor water consumption. That's what goes down the sewer. Well, we don't get that information, because we don't read their water meter. And so the code says double the average Cedar Hills sewer. So there is that provision as well. And then it comes back to, okay, if they don't pay it, then they're not a resident, they're not in our city. And that's what the agreement would have to be. Solid enough to say, okay, we can disconnect you.
So
here's the ramifications.
So how did we get into the situation then with the other resident who did connect to our sewer and never paid their bill, and we were always told over and over we could not shut them off because of the public health safety issues, and so they just never paid?
Rob will pay.
So how is that person able to fly on the radar, but turn off some deals.
And I don't know if the agreement with Mr. Levine was ironclad. I don't know if there were those kinds of penalties that said, if you don't pay your bill, you terminate your connection. You eliminate your service. And it is a health safety issue. That's something that we would have to have Mr. Shaw look at carefully. Because if it becomes a health safety issue, we can't disconnect. Now we might be setting the precedent that we're letting people on, and what do we do about it?
Yeah, I would definitely like to know on that, because I was always under the impression from that particular situation that we were not allowed to turn off the sewer line because of the public health issue.
So we have to investigate that.
Any other questions? Okay. This is what we're going to do. How many of you guys have a break? A 20-minute break. And I'm going down to Lone Peak High School to honor our new city council, we do every year. Our Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Zappala, will be handling the first 20 minutes or so of the meeting, and then I'll be back. So let's take a break.